Book of Mark. Chapter 6, we're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the book of Mark. The wonderful book of Mark. Okay, verse 30. Let's start with that. Anyone need a Bible? If you do, raise your hand. Anyone else need a Bible? Verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. We spent a whole message on that 2 weeks ago, that one verse. Verse 31, it says, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him and Jesus. When he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. Father, we were not there 2,000 years ago on that hillside, wherever that was, among the multitude. But we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that we have the benefit and privilege of you doing the same thing with us, teaching us many things. That's what I want, Lord. Teach me many things so I can share many things, so those who I share with can go out themselves and share many things. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, move among your people now. Awaken us. Develop in us, Lord, a longing to be like you, Lord. Would you do that? Just pray that you make the word go alive, to draw us in and put a cry on our hearts, Lord, to be like you, our Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. So at the beginning of chapter 6, we saw a great change in the public ministry of Jesus up until chapter 6. The preaching of the kingdom, the healing of the sick, the cleansing of the demon-possessed and lepers, the raising of the dead had been done by only one person, Jesus. At the beginning of chapter 6, we saw a great shift. Instead of doing the ministry exclusively on his own, Jesus sends out his disciples to minister on his behalf. And listen, he continues doing that to this day, and he will until his return. 2 weeks ago, when we left off in verse 30, the disciples return. So at the beginning of the chapter, he sends them out. At verse 30, they come back. Verse 30 says, they gathered to Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Verse 31 says, let's continue. It says, verse 31 says, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. So in verse 32, it says they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. They departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. You know, the Bible says that whatsoever a man sows, he reaps. Whatsoever a man sows, he reaps. You may ask yourselves, I've been sowing. Why have I not been reaping? I've been living the Christian life, but I have not been seeing any fruit. I've sowed much, but have reaped very little, if any. Why? Could it be that you are not going regularly into the deserted places with Jesus? That room that you can shut in your house, it's deserted except you and Jesus, drawing life from him, seeking him in prayer and his word. This is clearly what we read from the life of Christ and his followers, sowing after being in a deserted place with him, after receiving life from him, then reaping, and then back to a deserted place with Jesus. Christianity is a life spent with Jesus Christ, not a life spent performing religious acts. Whatsoever a man and a woman sows, they will reap. In due time, it will happen with you, provided that you're regularly going into deserted places with Jesus. Let's go to verse 33. Verse 33, it says this, will be in this verse and in the next verse for a while. It says, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. So he takes off in a boat with his disciples. There's people, this is the Sea of Galilee, they're literally running on the shore, seeing where he's going, so they want to get there before they want more of him, and so that's the scene here. And then in verse 34 it says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd." It says that he was moved with compassion. You could say accurately that Jesus became lovesick here for these people. Unfortunately, something is lost in the translation from the Greek. The New Testament written originally in Greek. And sometimes things get lost in the translation when we read in English. And so let me explain what I mean right here. When it says he was moved with compassion, in the original Greek language, it says his innards, his stomach, his intestines were moved. Literally. And you know what happens. Young man, young woman, fall in love. What happens? One of two things. You lose your appetite, or the opposite happens. You're lovesick. That's what's going on here. In the Greek, that's what this means. He's moved with compassion. Literally, it's the word for compassion. There's bowels, your stomach, your intestine. He's physically moved when he sees these people. Why? Because they are like sheep without a shepherd. This is how Jesus sees you. If man, you, woman, you go 3 days without your shepherd, this is how he sees you. You were not created to live without a shepherd. But we're experts at that. Shepherding ourselves. But the grace of God Let me tell you. He sees you. Like, he sees right through you. That should be a comforting thing to you. That he sees right through. He sees the hidden history that you have. He sees the damage, the wounds, the scars. He sees that abortion that you had. And the very deep wound that it causes. He sees the pornography, the greed, the selfish ambition that has ravaged your soul. And he's moved when he sees you. He sees the profound lack of trust you have of virtually everybody in your life because your trust has been so egregiously violated. Now you don't trust anybody. He sees that. He sees the unbelief. He sees the fear. He sees, brothers and sisters, he sees the obsession that you have for the approval of others. And he's moved in his bowels with compassion. He's physically moved with compassion for you. What does Jesus do when he is moved with compassion for you? What does he do? Someone shout it out. And not if you're in the first service. In the first service, you're not allowed to shout it out. What does he do? He teaches them many things. That may have been someone who was at the first service. It says he's moved with compassion for them. What does he do? Oh, sympathy. Oh, I'm so sorry. Can I get you some milk? Or does he give them like a motivational speech? Or does he give them just like positive thoughts? Your positive thoughts. No, it says, listen, read with me. He's moved with compassion. He sees a messed up group of people with the Bible says of these people that they had blind guides. It's blind leading the blind. They had blind guides leading them to blind places. And what does he do? He began to teach them many things. End of verse 34. That's his response when he sees into you. He sees that damaged soul. He speaks the word of God into you, and he builds you up. Okay, I want to go real deep with you now. So he's moved for compassion for these people. You can accurately say that he is lovesick, and he teaches them many things. Soon we're gonna see him feed them. We're gonna get there today. It's a longer story, so I didn't read it. He's going to feed 5,000, says not, in the other gospel account, it says not including men and women, may have been 10,000. He's going to feed them all. Even though he knows that they're going to reject him, most of them are going to reject him. Doesn't stop him from being moved in his innards, lovesick for them. How do we know that? We know it from the parallel account in the book of John. This is what it says in the parallel account, meaning same story of the book of John, about these very same people that Jesus is teaching and he's breaking up physically because he sees them. They're sheep without a shepherd. It says in John 6, verse 66. Do we have that, Dennis? It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. These are the same people. He's breaking up out of compassion for. I hope that wows you. I hope it does. He knows these people's hearts. He sees right through them, but he's breaking. This is the profound love of God. And here's the deal. Here's where we go deep, Calvary Chapel. Don't you want to be like that? Don't you want to be like that? Here's what I find so lacking in the body of Christ in the United States of America. It's a longing to be like Jesus. In the body of Christ, in the United States of America, there's a pandemic worse than COVID-19. And I'm not saying that to trivialize the heartache that many have, but let me tell you, the body of Christ in the United States, or those who identify as Christians, giving their life to Jesus, entering into an eternity with God and being filled with blessing and being then okay with not day by day by day, Jesus, I want to be like you. No, it's God, I want this promotion. God, I want this bigger house. God, I want this bigger car. Where do you find that in Scripture? When I read this, we come here and read the Bible to see what is Jesus' heart, because I want to be like him. Now, I debated whether to put up this verse, because it's a hard one and I don't want to throw everyone off here, but I had to do it. It's Philippians 2, 12, 13. I really believe it's one of the most skipped over verses in the United States of America, where we take advantage of grace and just get complacent in our grace. Philippians 2, 12 through and 13, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Whoa, what's that about? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that doesn't mean that you work for your salvation. Salvation is free through faith in Christ. What it means is, once you are saved into a relationship with Jesus, you don't just settle in and are okay with where you're at. God loves you too much to be like that. No, you work out your salvation. In other words, you're crying out, God, I want to be like you. So the salvation that is in you starts to express itself in your life. It starts to work out. It starts to get to the place where people are looking at, whoa, that guy is different now. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. That word fear and trembling, It's just speaking to with great emotion, crying out for Lord, I want to be like you. The good news is what? God answers this prayer. He really, really does. How do I know that? Look at the next verse, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Notice, though, there is a connection. We don't just sit back and do nothing. We with fear and trembling, we cry out to the Lord, I want to be like you, Lord. And what happens when we do that? God responds. For it is God who works in you both to will. What does that mean? Well, what does he will? What he wills? He has a heart of that breaks, and is lovesick for the lost and for his own children who Christians who have neglected their shepherd. His heart breaks. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You following me? Let's be a church which longs to be like Jesus. Jesus, please, I want to be like you. By the way, every day at 12 noon, we have prayer on Zoom. And this is what we do for the first 20 minutes to 30 minutes. We're literally just crying out, God, please, We want to be like you, God. We desire to be like you. And it is amazing. We started this up at 12 p.m. and at 3 p.m. ever since the pandemic. It's incredible to see this very verse in action, seeing people, some of whom are in this room. They're different people than they were a year ago. Why? Because they're working out their salvation with fear and trembling, crying out, "Oh Lord, please, I want your salvation in me to manifest." And what happens? God has been working in them to will and to do for his good pleasure. Before, it's just so encouraging. Join us, please. Even if you have 15 minutes during a lunch break, if you're not on a church email, every week we send out the Zoom links, or you can enter on our homepage. But it is his good pleasure to make you, like Jesus, lovesick for the lost. Okay, so let's continue. Verse 35. It says, "When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.' But he answered and said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread?'" 200 denarii was 200 days' wages. Not a small amount of money. "Shall we go spend 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." And then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds, and in fifties. Verse 41, "And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men." And we know from the other gospels, that's not including women and children. There were women and children there as well. So very few of Jesus' miracles show up in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very few show up in all four. This is one of them. This is one of the miracles that is in all four Gospels. What do we learn from it? So much. First off, I'm just going to go quickly through four or five things. First off, this is very, very basic. And that is, God cares for your basic needs. God cares for your basic needs. Please, Calvary Chapel, get rid of the hyper-spiritual mentality. "Oh, I can't ask God to help me pay my electric bill. He's God. He's dealing with starving people in wars and my electric bill." Listen, where did you learn that? Not from the Bible. If you are in Christ, God is your Father. He cares about every teeny weeny zeny aspect of your life. Take it to him, Calvary Chapel. First things first, God cares for you. Very simple message, wonderful message, profound message from this miracle. Number two, God still does this on a regular basis with you. Did you hear that? He still does this on a regular basis with you. What does he do on a regular basis? Verse 37, "You give them something to eat." Meaning, he will ask you to do things that you don't have the physical capacity to do. Regularly. He does this with you. And I could give you 1,000 examples I could give you. You're sitting in a class, in a college class. And the sociology professor says this. He says, people go to church because they are sadomasochists. They love to be beaten up by preachers. I heard that identical quote when I was in sociology class 35 years ago. People go to church because they are sadomasochists. They love to be beaten up by preachers. And you hear God saying to you, you need to speak up. You need to speak up. And you're like, this guy has 17 degrees. I have a high school degree. I can't say anything. Listen, God asks you to do things you don't have the physical capacity to do. The problem is, many of you have just been, he regularly does that. You've regularly said, no. You're looking at the fish and loaves and say, no, I'm not going to do this. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. Someone just sent it to me last night. Pastor Serge in Haiti, by the way, he's getting over COVID. Please pray for him. He's towards the end of it, and he's doing better. But this is what he sent me last night at about midnight. If you want a religion to make you feel uncomfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. I love that. If you want a religion to make you feel comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. It's uncomfortable. Let me tell you, you're in sociology class, and the professor says that. So what happened 35 years ago? Some of you may remember me telling this story. I'll give you the short version of it. But the professor says, people who attend church, they're sadomasochists. They love to be beat up by preachers. And at the time, I was not a Christian. However, there was a guy in front of me by the name of Greg Johnson, and he was. And his hand shot up. And the teacher called on him and said, I go to church to worship God. He then proceeded to talk. And the professor, no lie, proceeded to shrink and shrink and shrink. It was one of the most awesome displays of the glory of God that I've ever seen. And it really did have an impact on me. I'm like, that's the real deal right there. Now listen, you may be in this situation and the Lord's telling you to say something and you blurt out something real stupid. Doesn't matter. God will use it. As my name is Steve Cole, God will use it. The power of God will rest on that moment, and the people who witness it are not going to forget it, as stupid as you, whatever it is you think you may have said. God regularly asks you to do this. Regularly, you need to say yes. You need to say yes. When you're asked to do something, don't respond like a knee-jerk purely in the natural like the world does. You're asked to be involved in some ministry. Okay, yeah, I'll get back to you. I have this amount of time. I have this amount of talent. No, I just have five loaves and two fish. Can't do it. Don't do that. God's asking you to do a job, some new job, or move to a place or whatever. Don't just simply, calculate exactly. I don't know. No. Ask the Lord. God, what do you want me to do here? He regularly does this. And many of you, I shouldn't say many of you, but oftentimes what happens when a person comes to me and they say, I'm just so dry in my faith. It's because they've been saying no, 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 no. And each time, each request from the Lord, they're just counting their costs. Now, listen, an expression we've had around here for a long time, sometimes the most spiritual thing to say is no. Someone asks you to do something. No. It's one of the most spiritual things. You know someone's spiritual maturity, by the way they're able to say no. It's just true. But please ask the Lord. Don't be measuring your physical capacity when he is asking you to do something. He does this on a regular basis. Verse 37, you give them something to eat. Verse 39, let's read verse 39. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. You know, one great thing about the book of Mark, it has these little details that are not in the other gospels. Green grass, not brown grass, green grass. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green grass, green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters, and he what? Restores my soul. And this is a picture of it, right? This is Psalm 23 in action. What does he do? He's broken up when he sees them. Broken up in his innards, physically moved. He teaches them many things. He feeds them, but before doing that, he makes them lie down and sit down in green pastures. And what happens? What's the end result? He's restoring their soul. That's what your God is. He is your God. Let's read verse 40. In verse 40, it says this, and they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And so, I think this is like an engineer's favorite verse right here. All you engineers, rather than having a mob descend on the food, wow, he sets them up in good order here. He sets them up in order and is able to feed them without a riot taking place. Okay, let's go to verse 41. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fish he divided among them all. And then in verse 42, it says, so they all ate and were filled. They all ate and were filled. Do you send people away filled and refreshed? Do you do that, Calvary Chapel? Do they leave your presence filled up, build up? It says he sent them away filled. It will happen. It will happen as you sow. Go to deserted places with the Lord. Reap. Go to deserted places with the Lord. And as you long to be like him, Jesus, I want to be like you. As it says in verse 37, when he regularly asks you to do something that you don't have the physical capacity to do, as you just live a life of simple obedience, you won't even know it, and you will be sending people away filled. People will come to you years after. You know, I remember being around you, and it was like a normal thing, normal conversation. I just left you feeling filled. This is what Calvary Chapel, this is what the Lord does with you. As he regularly asks you to do beyond what your capacity is, and you trust in the Lord saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In my weakness, you're strong, Lord. I'm going to do it. You'll be sending people away filled, refreshed. Verse 43 says this. It says, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. So they started with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. And this is going to be you as well. This is what your life is going to be. As over time, they're going to be picking up fragments from your life of fragments, meaning fruit of the Lord. Life and the life of God in you being reproduced in the life of others. It's going to happen to you as you learn to live a life of simple obedience. He says, do this. I know you don't have the capacity. Okay, I'll do it. He says, go give them something to eat. Yes, Lord. And you just regularly, you're saying yes, 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 rather than no, 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 or no, yes, no, yes, yes, no, 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 yes. A life of simple obedience. Calvary Chapel, they'll be picking up 12 baskets, more. Jesus said to us, you'll do greater things than you've seen through me. He actually does say that. They'll be picking up fragments after your life as you're learning to live a life of simple obedience. You know, I read one pastor's observations of these verses. And he said this, he said, you know, the Bible does say, Romans 14, 2 Corinthians 5, it says we all are going to appear before the Lord and give for a judgment at a judgment seat and to give an account for good things, bad things done in the body. We will give an account. A lot of people try to explain away that doctrine. We are, as Christians, going to do it. And one pastor observation of these verses, he said this, he says, the greatest crime on judgment day for many is not going to be for stealing, for murder, lying, sexual immorality. It's going to be having physical limitations and just always using that as an excuse to reject the life of faith that God has called us to. Not you, Calvary Chapel. By the grace of God, cry out to him, God, I want to be like you, and I need the grace to live a life of simple obedience, regularly saying yes when you're asking me to do something that is beyond my physical capacity. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. And, you know, during the pandemic, and we sort of changed what we do for the prayer time. We're just going to continue it right now. If your heart has been stirred and you want to be that person who just as a matter of habit, habitually just saying yes when the Lord asks you to do something that's beyond your physical capacity to do. You want to be that person. If you'd like me to pray for you, for God's grace to be upon your life, to become that person who does so as a matter of habit, please stand up. Please stand up. I'd like to pray for you right now. If you would like to man, if that really just even preparing this message, when I read about the 12 basketful, and you want to be that person, but it does involve being real uncomfortable, and you want to be that person, you know that you've been saying no, no, no in those uncomfortable situations, and you just want to break out of that habit. Rise, let me pray for you. You can stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, actually, if you're sitting down, please agree with me for our brothers and sisters who are standing. Please agree. There's power, a lot of power when we agree in prayer. Father, I just pray again. Your word says that you oppose the proud, you exalt the humble. And when a human being, we're all We're also self-conscious of the approval and praise of man. And when we get and stand up and we actually before everyone acknowledge that we want to be different and we need you. We need you, God. You're our Lord. We need you. That's humbling. And you say you will exalt the humble. Exalt these men and women, Lord. I pray especially for their time in the deserted places with you to draw life. Because without that, Lord, we're going to run to comfort every time. Oh, God, we don't want to be like that. Make these men and women just to habitually be yes people, yes to you. Lord, certainly saying no when it's not you and getting it when you're telling them to say no. We don't want any burnouts in here, Lord. Father, I just also pray for these people standing that they would understand the grace of God. Now you see right through them. You see that history of sin. You see that abortion, that damage from pornography. You see, Lord, the damage just from living a life of greed. You see that and the blood of Jesus has covered it. But they would be strengthened and motivated by grace and love of you, not of duty, Lord. It's love that calls us out of comfort, Lord. Make them those people. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for living that perfect life for us, that you live to credit that perfection to our account. We thank you for taking our sin on the cross. And that you were buried on the third day, you rose to life, and now you offer, you knock at the door of our hearts and you say, open up and I'll come in. We thank you for that grace, completely not deserved. I pray for anyone here who's never done that. They've never ripped open their heart and said, come in, be my king. I've been the king my whole life. King of my own life. I'm sick of it. Come in. But Lord, again, these people who are standing, that they would understand that grace, not performing, not doing stuff to perform, to impress other Christians, none of that, Lord, that they would just be people motivated by grace, habitually saying yes to you, being called out of comfort. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, if you could rise for our closing worship song.